Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the AEW Dynamite Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamflett and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Dynamite. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review AEW Dynamite, but also AEW Rampage, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett, Michael Sidgwick, to look ahead to Dynamite tonight. Yet again, a stat show. Lots of stuff going off in the Owen Hart tournament, of course, including two
Joker babies.
But let's start with Piggy. He's getting lashed tonight by MJF and, well, they've got a hell of an act to follow after the first lashings that we saw with Cody Rhodes, Michael Hamflett.
I don't want to jinx this, but it kind of can't fail. If it plays as this sort of demented tribute act to a demented first act, brilliant. You know, Wardlow being made as a newly minted babyface, being made to pay the last penance of one of the worst things he did as a heel. And we've already seen how he's kind of paying for that every week. He hasn't really got any mates. He doesn't need them right now. He's battering 100 men by himself, mm-hmm. but he hasn't really got any friends. And we've established that that's because of all the crimes he committed while he was under MJF's employ. So this is kind of great as a way for him to suffer visible pain as a result of what he went through to now give everybody free reign. Right, actually, let's get on side with him now. Like, he's maybe got a friend in CM Punk, but other than that, there's nobody else mm-hmm. that would go to bat for him. This will change that. This is a great visual representation to the rest of the locker room that when Wardlow eventually gets employed, that he's one that you can trust because he's no friend of Maxwell's and he's gone through this awful trial. There is, of course, the alternative version where he's just so nails that it takes about eight of them to even leave a mark. Like, he's just got this incredible, like, obviously emotional strength, but physical strength too, where he just no-sells it. And the way in which he no-sells it increases each time with every awesome face that he pulls, which he gets better and better at every week, to the point where MJF is getting so frustrated, like, after three or four, he starts wasting lashes.
Yes.
He's like, bang, 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 like, rattles off five or six in a row.
He did that to Cody. He did, like, three in a row against Cody, didn't he?
But this is out of, like,
I can't remember.
The same spot, like, bang, bang, bang.
Like a tantruming little kid. Like, he's just sort of, like loads in a row that he can't do until he's basically down at the last nine or ten. And then, of course, there's the setup to the match, which Wardlow's got to endure this to get through, and the last lash. Much like Wardlow's was the sort of the power play by MJF, MJF very sneakily and cruelly unleashing Sean Spears just with an absolute monster chair shot that cracks Wardlow across the back. Like, after he's taken nine lashes,
yeah.
he cheats it and just does something nasty. I don't think there's a version of this that isn't great. And I would... The Cody one was the main event segment, wouldn't it?
Yes, it was.
I would definitely mirror that.
They've already said, I think, that Adam Cole, Jeff Hardy's going to...
That makes sense as well.
Oh, thanks, I hate it. Like,
I don't think, yeah, it's going to end the night on a grim, bleak, thrashed note. Spoiler alert for our takes on it. But yeah, I think that this won't main event because it doesn't have the same emotional resonance.
Am I right in thinking, sorry, interrupt. Is this the penultimate Dynamite before Double or Nothing?
I've got no idea. And that's not good.
Yes, I don't it is, think. I think it is.
Yeah,
I've got one more after this.
Week on Sunday, yeah. Sage, your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, it's very, it's going to be very different to the Cody one because they are two very different characters. Cody wanted to do this, and it was great. I'm going to use words that might be cynical, I guess, but it was very overwrought in the best possible way. It was very, very Cody in the best possible way, like overall acting. It brought in his entire inner life and his interior life and back together in the case of the Young Bucks, who he'd barely associated with on screen for a while. His wife, who was no longer in the Nightmare Collective, but she just appeared on television as Brandi Rhodes again. Wardlow's got none of this. He's also got none of this, like, sort of touch my hand to the TV screen quality. He's not that kind of baby face. So I don't really know how this is going to go, other than it's going to be markedly different to the original angle. I don't think it's going to have the same emotional heft because Cody, he went for it, he tried to do it, and by God, he earned it by the end. So I don't think this is going to be a main event level gravitas thing. Because I remember the whole discourse. Everyone loved Cody so much at the time that nobody wanted him to see him go through this because, like, I don't want to think of him as weak or pitiable or whatever. Because everyone loved and gravitated towards that version of the Cody character. I do love the idea, and I had a very had the exact same one in mind before you said it first, of him just sort of doing the first three or four, and just sort of like shrugging as if to say, what a little bitch.
Yeah, so like, he can't do it. Is there a space for a bit of patter here where he's got a mic for some reason? Maybe MJF really wants to catch the little whimpers that comes out of Piggy's mouth or something along those lines.
He's not going to do that though, is he, Wilborn? He's just trying to...
No, but what I'm trying to say is... Is
he's trying to suck up.
No, I'm trying to say there's a chance for some patter here from Wardlow. So he's like, okay, your 10 lashes start now. And Wardlow's like, okay, Maxwell, I think I'm ready. And he does the first one, and then like Wardlow can go like, just tell me when you're going to start.
I like that idea as well. I like the no-sell idea up to a point, because obviously he just takes the 10 and powerbombs them. Like, it would be absolutely class.
Mark Sterling gets it again.
I had another fantasy booking idea of the direction in which they can take this, where... So I've got two more ideas. It's the best thing about AEW at its best is that they make you be a mark. One is, if you notice, seen this? Heard about this? Wardlow has faced off in recent months against a procession of monsters, mercenaries and hired guns or whatever. What if W. Morrissey, Lance Archer, The Butcher, Cesar Bononi? Too long ago, wasn't part of this particular thing, but he's worked them before. If, like, Max, after the first five, gets all of the monsters that Wardlow's put away of late, and they can each have a go. So I like that idea. Another one is because babyfaces have to be smart. You can't think of a babyface as an idiot, otherwise you'll just think they're an idiot and you don't like them. So that's stupid. Why would WWE do that for 20 years? I like the idea of... progressive intensity and impact and force of the lashes, right? And the whole time, as stipulated, Wardlow has his back because that's what's getting lashed. Lash of the belt, the belt, the belt. In the background, Sean Spears lifts up the chair on a certain one, or the 10th, or maybe the 8th or the 9th, if they've got somewhere to go afterwards. Spears is about to brain him right in the back with a chair. Wardlow, being the smart baby face, senses this, turns round, grabs the chair, and just gives everyone a brain injury. Security guard Spears and MJF is the last one. Like, you're just about to see him get an unprotected chair shot to the head, and then he screams. He's good at screaming. I love when heels scream.
He did that perfectly in the last scene last time, didn't he? Because he hoied him in the bollocks afterwards. Yeah. He was angry with himself.
In the Jericho Bucks angle, where they're like doing their poses. Like, okay,
when they're out the window in that one as well. Like posing out the window as the
car. Cheese it.
Like that. Could they put Wardlow back in the cuffs and then have MJF show no honor and just whip him even more? Like, Wardlow's gotten back, like he's absorbed the 10. It's not been anywhere near as bad as he thought it was going to be. And then somehow he finds himself back in the, like, the visual of Wardlow being, not being able to escape it. And then MJF thinking, I've got you now, Piggy. And another 20 lashes on top of the 10 he's taken. Because there was a certain dishonourable honour to the Cody one. MJF kind of stubbornly and petulantly assumed that Cody just wouldn't be able to take them. And he did. And there was the shock factor that came with that.
Good character building, because the man whose stipulations are his gimmick kind of has to abide by his own stipulations.
Yeah.
Otherwise, in that weird way that, like, MJF, the heel who doesn't have to do this in character... adheres to his own stipulations more than WWE does theirs.
He honors stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think I love all this. And I love the fact that something as simple, or not simple, but, you know, as straightforward as 10 Lashes has so many people fantasy booking it. We've had questions about it on the news, for example. Someone said, how do you escalate? Because you're right. I like the idea of like having the hosses come in to do it. I was like, I don't know, set the belt on fire? I'm not going to rule that out. But I do
pays
think...
pays off the wizard, too.
I do think there is more, like, there should be more patter here. Like, I can't remember what number it was. I'm going to go back and watch the Cody thing this afternoon to get me in the mood for tonight. But the exact number that Wardlow did it, have Sean Spears do the give me the belt without saying anything.
I love that.
And again, that arguably, you know, being less effective than MJF's or whatever. But I also don't have that much of an issue with Wardlow selling it somewhat. Because at the end of the day, you don't care how hard you are or how strong or big you are. That sucks. Yeah. It's like, I don't care if you're 10 foot tall. If you get stabbed, it still hurts.
Well,
so,
told you the story before, potentially, but I'll tell you again, it's funny. You know, a big alpha male Chad like myself, you'd expect him to be able to take like a belt to the shoulder. But Stark do, 2013, Hamburg, best man, little rapscallion, like took all out on a boat. And I was like, oh, where's the stripper? I know you've got one under there because we're not going for a scenic cruise because they are proper lads types. Sure enough, who would emerge? From the I don't know about boats, like
yeah, the boat beast,
the basement,
lower decks,
the lower decks. But you know, the exotic dancer, right? And it's just like I just didn't want to do the whole lads thing, like, and it's new that my fiance would be not enjoying this, cause, you know, it's just not the kind of guy I am. But you gotta do it. Have to do it. It's your stag do. So she was like doing the buttons. I was like, oh god damn it, like I don't want to do this at all. Like, how far are they gonna take it? Because years later, with my mutual best man, we took it way further than what I did. So that was so, right, the shirt's coming off. Oh, there's the trousers down. Cool. And like she likes seductively, she's not trying to seduce us, she's just trying to get some money. Takes off the belt, the trousers come down. Then she does some light whips on the chest, right? And then she turns you around. It's like, right, I'm going to get belted here. And I was just like, nah, I'd rather one of my mates did it just in case there's any sort of suggestion of titillation. So I look around and there's like guy who works at the DVLA, someone in IT. In fact, there's two people in IT. There's a guy in finance. All right, get the outdoor gardener and like Jack of all trades, who's like got this really sinewy, like tight body. And he's like, strong lad, gets the belt, hits me so hard that he brings me to my knees, and I've got a mark. If I didn't have the mark, I could have just, you know, the exotic dancer could have done it. And I went home without any evidence. So like, I walked into the flat. Like, Francis, I've got something to tell you. She's like, what? And it was an exotic dancer. She's like, what? And I was like, oh, Mark did this to us. She's like, just side-eyed us. I went through all that. Anyway, basically, if Wardlow sells it worse than I did, he's a bitch.
Right, lots to look forward to. We'll get to Adam Cole and Jeff Hardy in due course. And then the other Owen Hart tournament match that we know the participants in, Rey Fénix versus Kyle O'Reilly. But it's time, Sidgwick, to talk about...
The Jokers, baby.
I'm going to miss this so much.
Yeah, there'll be more Jokers. There's one every pape.
It's wrestling, man. Like, there's a Joker film every 2 years. Wrestling's always like 4 years behind film anyway.
There's a Joker baby on the independent scene every bloody... you'll get, honestly, 5 Joker gimmicks in North America on literally any given day. Yeah, I was thinking I got a new gear idea. Okay, what are you thinking? Well... kind of questioning the nature of man and like, am I a heel or is society the heel? So come on, well, what you got? What's your entrance? The Joker, baby.
Why so serious?
Why so serious?
I look
baby.
Angry, but I've got a painted on smile.
Al Pacino should have played the Joker. Yeah, like lost his ass, like too intense for his own good. Actually, distracting Al Pacino as the Joker, that'd be good ironic value.
Want to know how I got these scars? Ooh-ah! Why so serious, sir? So who will the Jokers be in the Owen Hart Cup? It's Samoa Joe and Britt Baker. Who
That's a big society. And you got your head all the way up it.
Britt Baker and Samoa Joe set to
Most Art is terrible now, isn't it?
What?
Culture's mostly dead, isn't it? Oh, like, Most Art is terrible and all culture's dead.
Yeah. Like, that's why I watched things from 5 years ago on a loop.
So who do you think faces Samoa Joe and Britt Baker then?
Right.
Who do you think it's going to be? Who would you like it to be? Take your pick.
At this point, I would just like things to be settled. The debut doesn't feel normal. It doesn't feel special. It feels thoroughly normal. I've used this point before. Imagine Keith Lee debuting in early 2020.
Yeah.
They decided, right, we want to push him, we want to keep him. At the time, he's a valued prospect. He's really getting over. What if, unbeknownst to anyone, Keith Lee was like, right, okay, he took long enough, because he didn't know in 2018, Keith Lee. Taking long enough, I appreciate all the push that you've been giving us, all the rest of it, but he's going to jump to AEW. His contract just expires. And he just turns up on Dynamite. It'd be the best thing of all time. There's a new debut every week. It's redundant at this point. So honestly, at this point, I wish there was nothing. Not because I don't want to see Cesaro or Johnny Gargano on AEW television.
Yes.
I'm not going to hate it when it happens, if and when. I'm not going to not enjoy the matches. Roster's too big. But at the same time, it's like, oh, I could do without this for like 3-4 months. 3 or 4 months, do none of this. Resist the temptation. Like, if Roman Reigns just decides to actually leave, get him in. Imagine the fume from the avatars for no other reason than that. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
4 months, be disciplined. Don't do it anymore. Make it feel special again. Just excess. It's doing my head in. But, you know, we are getting them, and I will gladly be the hypocrite tomorrow morning when I put this over. I've got two theories, and I'm 50% on both. One is that Tony Khan loves his things, right? Just loves his things. He gets, like, into his things, like Bobby Fish and run-ins and distractions. He gets laser-focused on one thing that he really likes, belt shot finishes, belt shot kick-out finishes, whatever. You're really into NXT Black and Gold at the minute. Loves it. Undisputed Era. Keith Lee's been signed. Regal. It's like the Wednesday Night Wars is on one channel at this point, which leads me to think that it was always going to be Johnny Gargano to AEW. He's not leaving NXT, which he loved, to go to Impact, MLW, or even New Japan, or do more stuff in PWG. He's going to AEW. Everyone knows this. Now's as good a time as any, because if he's been playing the waiting game, thinking, let's wait a few months for no more signings. You're going to get signings, you're going to get Forbidden Doors, you're going to get W. Morrissey. Like, the idea of new, is too much. And he's probably realized, right, okay, now's as good a time as any, because there's no waiting game to be played. Tony Khan loves his 1.5, 1.0 NXT. So Gargano could be the guy, except they are pushing Joe as the ROH killer, the final boss of ROH, the flag bearer of ROH. So he looks physically outmatched, Gargano, to Joe, and I don't think he wants someone of that stature to beat him just yet. It'd be bad booking if he does, even if people will be excited about Gargano, which leads me to think it's Cesaro. Good physical match. Everyone wants to see Cesaro in AEW. I don't want to see him as world champion. I would happily do 12-minute banger TNT champion Cesaro. I don't want to see him as the top guy in that company. I don't think he has it. And he'll have want to die on for quite some time. But put him on Dynamite in 12-minute matches, and it's going to be sensational. So I think it's Cesaro. As for Britt Baker, who's going to be her dead joker, baby? Athena.
Yeah, I like that.
Athena. Or, Hamlet's got a good idea for this, I think. Oh, no, it was Murray.
Mine would have, like, on a similar vein to Athena, really. Nixon Newell. Or Tegan Knox, whatever she goes by, assuming mm-hmm. the date's free. On Johnny Gargano, what's Candice LeRae's contract status? Because she just finished up, didn't she?
Expired, so she can...
Young Bucks sort of hinted at that, didn't they?
Yeah, Young Bucks love working
with Candice. They're both coming LeRae. In. They're both definitely coming in. They're so valuable. I know Gargano kind of operates in a different discourse sphere than Candice LeRae, but I think they're both super valuable to AEW. I was thinking about the Joe one. I think he's going to lose. Yeah. And I think they're... So to accept it, Tony Khan likes his things. He really likes Ring of Honor. He likes it more than me, to be quite honest.
Oh, he likes it way more than
he's
me.
He's banging to Joe versus Jay Lethal and that match meaning something. I've got a really niggling feeling it's going to end up on Double or Nothing. Hopefully the pre-show, but I think he might want that for the main show. And rather than a surprise person like a Cesaro, and they like their surprise pops, I'm kind of over it. could he do, and it'd just be this awesome battle of respect, and Joe loses, and it's all handshakes at the end because it's Ring of Honor, Jonathan Gresham.
Ooh.
Champion versus champion. Gresham wins. It's all very honourable. And then Jay Lethal, Sonjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh come down after the fact, go to beat up Samoa Joe. Jay Lethal, excuse me, Jonathan Gresham and Samoa Joe have been kind of allies against these villains. It's kind of the only real Ring of Honor angle he's running at the moment, isn't it? And they kind of chase them off, and there's a tag team match. And Rampage Baby next week as the go-home for the pay-per-view singles match or something like that. Champion versus champion. Tony Khan is very much telling rather than showing when it comes to Ring of Honor stuff. And this would be another example of that, wouldn't it? Like, have a match. They're both title holders. My God, Excalibur's putting it over as the greatest thing he's ever seen. Like, these are the two figureheads of this new brand, and you're going to see more of it one of these days. We can't tell you when, but it's coming. It's coming. And it's just good wrestling. And then Gresham wins. Gresham beat him. And there's no dishonor in the TV champion losing to the world champion.
The fact that the Joker is wrestling Britt Baker is very interesting to me, more so than Joe, who I know they want to protect to a degree, but not to the same degree as Baker in the women's division. She's more important to her division than Joe is to his. Could Baker beat her Joker, with the idea being that it really sells the winner of the Owen, if they beat Baker, if Baker can say, look, I beat the Joker, no one beats the Joker, how much am I going to beat you at the pay-per-view? And it's weird that Dr. Britt Baker match isn't going to happen at the pay-per-view. Just feels like if they just wanted to bring someone in as a Joker, they wouldn't do it at Baker's expense. So I'm thinking she might actually win whoever it's against, which would lead me to believe it's not going to be Athena or Nixon Newell.
But yeah.
Because they just debut them and they win, and it's all like a...
What about like going to the final or hard-fought loss in the semi or something like that?
What about like one of the... like Joshi wrestlers who, like Maki Ito.
Yeah, I've heard that rumour, actually. Yeah.
Somebody that can absorb a defeat, but it's quite fun in the night. Like, it's too gimmicky for AEW, this. But ever since it was Britt Baker specifically, because like my kind of angle klaxon was blaring a little bit with Britt Baker and the Joker. If Rebel Not Reba comes out and assumes the role, and whether or not it's after the fact that we find out that there's been some tampering that's gone on or something like that, just so Britt Baker can have this easy route. Oh, we've had a competitive match, but Britt Baker wins easily. Of course she does. And not that she lays down, it's not a Triple H Shawn Michaels thing, but something where it's played more for the story, for something bigger, rather than just a tournament match. But I don't know. It's hard to work out what they say. Like, I'm not super wowed by the tournament matches on paper. I'm sure they'll deliver on the night, but it's still quite difficult to work out what exactly they're hoping to achieve from this, from both the Owen tournaments. And we'll probably get a better idea of it with the Jokers, with how they frame them. With the Jokers.
That Joker baby.
The Joker babies.
What's a random question? This just popped into my head as we were talking about Ring of Honor. Chris Hero, is he producer on Ring of Honor right now?
I don't get it. I don't know.
I think he's more like a seminar guy. Just independent, he hosts online seminars.
I just thought it was an alternative to feed someone to Joe.
It's weird with Hero. Surely he would have turned up already.
What, as a wrestler?
Or just as a something?
Yeah. Because he's doing like the...
At this point, there's been so many people associated with North American professional wrestling, and specifically the indie scene, since it became an indie scene in the early 2000s, that... you'd think there's a reason why he's not turned up yet.
He's kind of pivoted into, like, very well-respected, dare I even say it, like, content creator, hasn't he? Does videos and interviews and podcasts and things like that with, like, fellow wrestlers or other people that he's a fan of, and they just have long-form chats and go deep on the things they really enjoy. Like, he's kind of almost, like, moving into noted historian Chris Hero more than what he contributes directly to wrestling. Maybe he's content to do that, I don't know, but... It's the thing with Ring of Honor is it can be nothing until they make it everything.
Yeah.
They've got tons of wrestlers there where they can make it whatever they want, and they can just, like CM Punk, if he's not the AEW champion next month, they could just be like, you know what CM Punk really wants is the Ring of Honor. You know, they can just magic wand it because they've got so many people that are involved and they'll be willing to like show a bit of ass for that brand. But I don't think Joe's going through because I just think they've got the heart set on Joe and Lethal, like meaning more than it really does.
Shall we? It's rare we do this on an AEW pod. Shall we play a game?
Is it the game I'm thinking of?
It is.
Should we explain why it's a good idea to do it here? Because it's going to be someone who's wrestled for WWE.
Exactly.
I'm 90% certain of that.
Yeah, so normally when we can't think of anything, or WWE can't think of anything, I go on the WWE alumni page and we randomly select a name from the alumni page as the person that so-and-so will face this week or so-and-so will be surprised by this week or whatever. But as you say, Sid, it's very applicable here because chances are they may well be a WWE alumni. It's a risky move, all this, isn't it?
It is, because we've been playing this game on the Raw and SmackDown previews, and it's a WWE alumni page, and we're walking blindfolded into the fact that, very insensitively, someone's going to have died because wrestling was gross in a different way than it is now. that's what I'm looking for. Like, fatal way.
Yeah.
So we might, be insensitive, which is one of the reasons why I don't like playing the game. It's quite fun.
Yeah, it's good fun.
It's
game.
Scary. It's scary.
A risky, risky business. Who wants to start?
All right, Tom Cruise. I'll go first.
Okay, I'm scrolling through the WWE alumni page. You just tell me when to stop and then give me a number between 1 and 4.
2.
Okay. Good news.
Not dead.
Very good.
She's not dead.
Go through the numbers that aren't 8.
4, Kairi Sane.
Love that.
That'd be super cool. Yeah.
3, Justin Roberts. Wonder what he's up to nowadays. 1, friend of the channel, JTG.
So, and Kuta.
The cat.
It's not, no, it's just a J. It's between JTG and Justin Roberts, this person.
Oh, yeah, 2.
So, just incredible.
Oh, he's not on the...
It worked there.
That's a crime.
Maybe he's
in there with Aldo Montoya.
Yeah.
Justin Gabriel.
Oh, God, he's an absolute knacker, isn't he? He is, isn't he? He's like...
Control your narrative type figure.
Yes, control your narrative. That's what I'm trying to say.
I've read some things.
Do my own research.
Let's see if you can do any better, Hamflet. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Okay.
You the one.
4, Neville. Wonder what he's up to. 3, Murphy. Wonder what he's up to. 2, Mojo Rawley. Number 1, facing Samoa Joe tonight on Dynamite. The Missing Link!
Could, back to serious Joker discussion. I know, Tony Khan got her in once, put her in a terrible main event, and then beat her like a drum. But, Deonna Purrazzo versus Britt Baker.
They're really good mates.
It's pretty cool.
And it's pretty cool, and they're really good mates. And you could probably beat Purrazzo.
Yes. And the match would be good. So there's, another legitimate shout before we get to silly stuff. You've got a face on.
Missing Link is no longer with us, sadly.
Ah,
should we re-roll it?
Nah.
It's probably, this is destined. We don't want 2 deaths on this podcast. No. It's going to happen again, isn't it? We'll just go with
that. Let's give it one more go.
One of them other jerks. Oh, God, fine. Stop.
Hang on, no way, I was in the same place there.
They're missing me. They're berserker. Stop.
Okay.
2.
Right. Number 4. Tainara Conti. I wonder what she's up to nowadays.
Jesus Christ. This is why it's literally impossible for e-drones to hate this company.
Yeah.
It's more of them, really, than there is the ones now, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
3, Tatanka.
Good.
1, Sunil Singh.
Okay.
Facing Samoa Joe tonight.
Sunny.
On Dynamite. No.
Good.
Is Tajiri.
Great.
Oh, I'd love that.
Yes.
How good would that be?
Oh, they could do a little bit with William Regal.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
We've done it. We've cracked it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Let's talk about some of the matches that we know in terms of the personnel in the Owen Hart Cup going to be taking place. We'll come to Adam Cole and Jeff Hardy if that is supposed to be the main event in due course. But first template, let's talk Rey Fénix versus the man who was making notes on him on
you
Rampage.
See that? Yeah, that's great.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Needed that little slab of patter from Kyle O'Reilly in general, I think. Yeah. And that has led me to believe that like he's just rediscovered everything. He was really funny for a moment. Maybe this match is going to rule too. If this, like, I want to say, like, you should never sell your stock because I was hardly the biggest, like, FTR guy for the last year and a half. And then, oh, my God, 2022. So there's always a hope, a chance. But it sort of feels this match has got more riding on it IRL than it does in the kayfabe stakes of the Owen Hart Cup. It's just got to bang. It's just absolutely got to bang. There would have been a time. You're saying about, like, Tony Khan now owns the entire Wednesday Night Wars.
One of the first matches you'd book on
TV. We're in that period, aren't we, of, like, going to 2019. What would you like? Him and him. Yes, please. Like, there's loads of those. He's now booking them every single week, and it's like, well, how many of them would have actually ruled after all? This is just a great example of that. Kyle O'Reilly, as a heel, and the fact that he's been taking notes leads me to believe he will do something like this, should be, initially, a little bit terrified of the things Rey Fénix can do. Like, he has to sort of bring him back down to earth a little bit. He needs to get a little bit cruel and a little bit nasty, but then it's Kyle O'Reilly. So by the end, they're revved up to 11 and they're just going absolutely hell for leather. And I think O'Reilly might beat him as well. How does the bracket shape?
Yeah, it's Joe or the Joker, BB.
Yes, yeah. Cole and Hardy is the semi-finals on the other side.
Yeah, well, in which case, as long as like they're dodging each other, because I'm pretty sure Adam Cole will beat Jeff Hardy, so yeah, as long as they're dodging each other, I think Kyle O'Reilly will beat him, and this will be their attempt, because they've not got time now, have they, I don't think, for the Red Dragon stuff they were building with FTR or anything like that. There's no tag match that we need to worry about, double or nothing. So Kyle O'Reilly moves on, and the match hopefully, is the ripper that we've been waiting for from.
I'm waiting for a ripper from Kyle O'Reilly. He worked a multi-man match against the Bucks and looked incredible in it, but who doesn't? Other than Brian Pillman Jr.
Sorry, is he on that alumni page? He's dead. Because he's sitting full of bullets.
So I'm waiting for that ripper from Kyle O'Reilly. Oh, I feel cruel. But, you know, what are you going to do? What I like about the prospect...
Of a varsity athlete.
I really feel like I should have played this at the time.
I feel like this should will bang. The Kyle O'Reilly thing is the weirdest thing of all time. Because I never suggest that he phones it in. Because...
He keeps repeating on me.
Like, he's the nicest guy. But do you reckon he's just, like, walked in and think, all right, this is cool. Don't have to do much in NXT. Got to walk into a job with AEW and, indeed, in a good spot.
Mm.
Do you think he needs a kick in the arse or something? I just don't know what it is.
Not done enough 12-ounce curls.
Maybe. Either way, this is, like, you can't have a bad match with Rey Fénix. It's fairly impossible. What I like... Tony Khan knows what he's doing, even if he doesn't really communicate what he's doing or if he kind of rushes to get things done, he knows what he's doing. He knows that mirror matches tend to be bad. What you want to do is work with contrasts and characters, and these should have very complementary ring styles in that Kyle O'Reilly is awesome at plucking people out of midair and seamlessly trapping them in a submission move. We saw it with Jungle Boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it like forever. Like Fénix doing a tornado and Kyle O'Reilly in one swift motion, ducking, grabbing a leg, and then vining the leg the second that Fénix hits the mat. There's all sorts of like incredible, dramatic, really cool stylistic stuff they can do here.
Good face of panic when like Phoenix runs the ropes and O'Reilly will be in like a micro expression, be like, oh Jesus Christ, and he
like
does
a,
that.
You know, like a flailing daft bump of face. There's loads that can do here. It's just whether it clicks. I want it to click.
Yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that despite everything we've talked about on this show, that this is the one that steals it, that this is the match of the night. Because like you say, there is so much potential there, but it is also fairly unpredictable. Who do you think goes through?
Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Phoenix and Death Triangle are going to work with the House of Black, so it seems quite straightforward.
Let's talk about the main event. Well, there's some other stuff we need to discuss as well, but let's talk about the main event and talk about the final match that we're talking about from this Owen Hart Cup for this week. Adam Cole versus Jeff Hardy. Some bonkers stuff from last week, obviously, with Jeff Hardy and Darby Allin. How do you see this one playing out this week, Sige?
Significantly worse than the mid-match it was already threatening to be as a result of the fact that Jeff Hardy is, like, he's gone 24 hours on his bump clock over the past week. I'm very worried about the quality of this match. Not necessarily the noise. And people really love Jeff Hardy. I just don't. He's just never been one of my guys. Respect him, all the rest of it. But I think this is going to be very, very slow indeed. My worry is that this has, like, fall apart threat potential when he might have to like reverse or bump for the Panama Sunrise. That code red just hit last week. I hope they have a gentleman's three that's noisy, I think is best case scenario here. And because otherwise, as I said, like I just think the pace at which Cole works, Hardy trying to keep up with him after his exploits last week, this could fall apart. Some really sort of like grim deflating botches where they're not on the same wavelength. Cole to advance to the final because not only are the Bucks looking ahead to a match with the Hardys, I don't want to see Jeff Hardy in another singles match as long as I live. Okay. He got the very best one he'll ever do in his life last week, for the remainder of it anyway.
Got your finish as well. And it's not somewhat preposterous. Well, like
good, because it's Jeff Hardy, so he's not going to do it.
Adam Cole hitting a super kick when he does a, I don't know, whisper in the wind or something like that. It's not that.
Oh, he probably will
That's
try
what
that.
Will happen.
Yeah. But it's quite simple, really. Either Cole moves or Cole gets his knees up on a swanton, and then he's up, saying, oh, my bloody back! Lower the boom right in the back of your head, you prick.
Yeah, all right, I'll go for that.
I'll go for that.
Actually, some relatively straightforward booking from me.
So
I'm still clearly off my... off my usual focus after that Prime Roman Jr.
I don't have concerns over the match falling apart, but I just it feels impossible to be great. I'm not so worried about the botches and stuff. Jeff Hardy's this massive star, and will like fans will just make noise for him. And Adam Cole, I think needs a bit of a test of how much of a general he is. Because, like, say what you will about his NXT influences, and especially Shawn Michaels' ones, but it's very rare that in NXT he didn't look like the most professional wrestler in the world. Like, he was really in sync with that brand as a result. And if anything, the higher standard, I would say, across the board in AEW has almost normalized that a little bit. And we're not... Seth Rollins has this problem sometimes.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, every now and then, reminds you who he is or who he can be. And then sometimes he just gets a bit like swallowed in the maw of WWE's formula, and you don't see it for ages, and you're like, who gives a toss about Seth Rollins? And then he'll just have this total ripper, and you're like, he can do it. He absolutely can do it. I think that's a bit the case with Adam Cole at the moment. You're just not seeing that much from him that's reminding you why you might have just gone wow for him once. And this is, I think, like, we'll see if with a very broken down Jeff Hardy, but somebody that can bring all the sympathy and bring all the noise, Adam Cole on offense as a heel, being a general for the night, will probably elevate his star level to that of Jeff Hardy's, and you're not going to have something special, but I just don't think it's something that's going to fall away. The problem is that it could end up just being like a very good Raw match instead of a very good Dynamite match.
Or it could be a very slow and boring affair.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I don't think this is going to be a total disaster,
Jeff,
but I'll be lying if...
shuffling the shell around.
I'll be lying if I said I was super excited for it. It's not what it might have once been. And I think part of that is the dream pairing overload too. I think even a year ago, fair enough, like neither of them were in the company. But if you were like plucking wrestlers out of thin air that would eventually have a TV match, like you would have seen this and you've gone, oh, yeah, that's quite interesting. But we've had loads and loads of quite interesting. So again, it's like, well, we're looking to raise the bar now. Show me something that like just makes my eyes pop out of my head. That's kind of the pressure of the Forbidden Door card.
Yeah.
These matches have got to make your eyes pop out of your head because we're getting this level of like, not dream match, but you know, weird combinations all the time. and this just doesn't pop in the way that other ones would have once done.
It reminds me of when I used to work for my local radio station. They were like, putting on a big gig for you guys down the local park this summer. Text in, let us know which pop stars you'd love to see there. And people like, Katy Perry and Rihanna. And I'm like, well, let's lower those expectations. As I mentioned, Hamflet, this is the penultimate Dynamite before Double or Nothing. It is in just over
90s.
As a result of that, we've got the AEW champion Hangman Page in action. You've got CM Punk on commentary. Takeshita?
Konosuke Takeshita.
I didn't butcher it too badly. This feels like a fairly obvious Hangman Page hitting the GTS to win after what we saw last week.
Aye, something along those lines. I don't know what to think of this, you know. It's another one, this is an example of one that kind of looked interesting. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, cool. That's quite fun. And then the closer the match has got, I don't know if, because I've been talking with Murray a bit over the desk for this, and he's a little bit...
very grumpy about the... dejected about the win. Takeshita, because he's a big Takeshita.
Yeah.
And I think he was a little bit... not underwhelmed by the quality of the match, certainly, but the reality of the booking of the Rampage match and the reality, we would assume, of this match as well. So the quality is not in doubt. For the first time, I'm going to be ever so slightly critical of the Page-Punk thing, which is otherwise something I just love. Have they left a bit of detail out about...
they've left loads out of this.
About Hangman Page's particular irritation with CM Punk when Punk had that... really awesome, best promo of this rivalry promo when Hangman Page had COVID. And he said, I know you guys like Page. I like Page too. And then the following week, Page effectively said, well, I don't like CM Punk. Piece of So, they did miss the detail out of where that's happened. But Punk has poked the bear a little bit with the buckshot last week. So that's justifies, Page doing the same tonight. I do sort of worry that Takeshita's going to get lost in that, in the fact that they'll have a bit of a race on to try and tie up any loose ends in the Punk Hangman Page feud, and he's just going to be more of a prop that made for an interesting graphic rather than an interesting match.
Yeah.
So my expectations are a touch measured on this at the moment.
Yeah, I just think it speaks volumes that, no offence to him, and I have a lack of knowledge, and that's my fault really, that my notes on this are like, AEW champion action, CM Punk on commentary, and then here's the opponent. It's the final detail. It's obviously it's essential, but it is my last concern really with all this.
Yeah, it's finally balanced this. If they strike it, this could be class. You could get loads of things done at once. It'd be very deft, in fact. If you can't have Paige going 14, 15 minutes and just struggling to put this hot new upstart away. It's exactly the wrong time. The timing of this match is all wrong. I would love to see Takeshita get these elevation, obligatory run of wins, and then have a little TV defense with Paige, and it'll just be a ripper that exists for the sake of elevating Takeshita, giving Paige another match that the new trend on Twitter is like, these matches were fire. And it's like four match graphics from Dynamite. These matches were fire and no one cares but me. And it's like the Revolution tag match between you know what I mean? Like, this is the new thing. This is the new thing. So
WrestleMania 17 was good. Pass it on.
Hangman Page has got a pretty good title reign, if you ask me. And it's got all the match graphics, and one of them is this. That could work.
Why is nobody talking about how great Hangman Page is as AEW World Champion?
Yeah, I know.
With the emoji.
So it could have been that, but it's going to be this, and this is going to be what's going to happen is scene.
Okay.
Boom! Let's go ignite. There's going to be a, where's it now? No damage. And then ding, 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 little in, little in.
Where the hell are we? We're in Orlando, Jim.
How did you got
Jesus
there?
Christ.
Look at your goddamn notes, Jim.
There's a big roulette wheel. There's a big chips. We're here in California. Oh, fucking hell, Jim.
Right, think about where you ate, because that's how you manage it half the time. What did you eat, Jim? Well, I had some nice sausages and a steak and a great steak and some scrambled eggs. Oh, I was in Chicago. Anyway, so boom, let's go, ignite. Boom, let's go, ignite.
Bring the boom. Pillman Jr. Dynamite.
Shredder and I, no namers. It's got a personality. They play to the crowd. He loves the crowd. I love them, loving the crowd. But, I want to see Takeshita have a good match. And then maybe Takeshita's in the ring, maybe the music comes out, and then By the time all that's going on, you've only got 8 minutes to tell the story. And realistically, this is going to be a match that could have been very explosive, like loads of ridiculous rotations, and these guys are flying. It's like a ridiculous, athletic, propulsive display of big, burly units who are impossibly fast, beating each other up. This should be excellent for what it is, but it's the wrong time to do this match.
Is there any way, because, you know, Punk on commentary is going to be a joy, as always.
It's better than Paige, I hope. Yeah. I never remember a single thing he says when he's at the booth.
So, to compensate for that, what if Paige hits the buckshot and says, that's how you do it, and then hits the GTS?
That's great. And that as well, like, kind of, you're really putting somebody over in defeat because you've taken two finishes off the belt of your champion.
That's what I'm thinking. You said about a quick, fast match. GTS, I know you can catch people with it, but the buckshot is literally designed for that. I'm just like, right, I've thrown you over the top rope. Oh, bollocks, here you come. See you later. And yeah, that does sort of protect his opponent.
After the dark side of the ring thing last week, it was the first time in a while where, said this a million times in this podcast, one of my very favourite things ever about AEW for the duration of its existence is that we sit here quite excitedly fantasy booking loads of things and we're quite pleased with our selection sometimes. And then AEW has the ability to surprise you with something even better than something you would have never even thought of. I want to believe that there's more of those to come because the dark side of the ring was a perfect, perfect example of that last week. What if they've got some, I don't know what that thing is, a Paige defeat? Or so, like just something absolutely out of nowhere.
Or like he stumbles before pay-per-view.
Yeah, like because there's no stakes, but there kind of is stakes because this is like sort of kind of Forbidden Door adjacent, you know, it's a dream match type bollocks.
Like Double or Nothing he lost before?
Double or Nothing he beat Brian Cage last year.
But he got beat before
in the road to, which is like didn't have the title.
Because they were hinting towards, oh, it's Paige, guys, it's Paige. Then he has that one last crisis of confidence. Yeah. Then they pivoted to the three-way.
Double or Nothing 2019. What did he do at Double or Nothing 2019?
He was the Joker, baby.
I just like something, basically, that is the surprise that none of us can yet see coming. And then tomorrow morning, we're like, wow, where did they think of that? This is amazing. I feel so much more for this than I did before. Like, this feud could be the thing that needs that most. Mm. Like, you've kind of, like, you've given it to all of them, Jeff. Like, that's the hardest thing you got, brother. Like, yeah. That was just, like, icing on the cake.
We will get to Regal and Jericho in a second. I've realised I haven't had a chance to ask you. We talked a little bit about it on Rampage, and I'm sure as the story develops, we'll talk more about it. Your thoughts on the whole MJF situation, quickly?
What, his contract stuff?
Yeah, just his, you know, alleged unhappiness and...
I think everybody wins, regardless of if it's work, shoot, kayfabe, IRL, whatever. Everybody wins. This speculation is brilliant. I think MJF has, if this is all 100% real, and I don't believe it is, but if it's all 100% real, everything we're reading, MJF has just got to spend days, and like he's earned these flowers, scrolling through a timeline and reading a bunch of people saying, pay that man more money. He's worth this. He's worth that. He's this guy. He's this. Like, awesome, because he should be reading that, because he's just one of the best to do this right now, if not the best. It also plays so... It's why I can't 100% believe that bits of it weren't fed or carefully fed, should we say. It's like, I trust the news sources, but for the benefit of the eventual war of 2024, as he's branded it, having him as AEW World Champion with this, even if that story goes away, right? The fact that it's going to be in the back of everybody's mind when we know the contract's coming due and he might have the belt over his shoulder and he can do everything CM Punk did with two separate titles before, and all of that kind of stuff. This favours MJF if it's all real, and the man just deserves more money, and he should be getting all this praise and all this credit. It favours MJF and AEW and Tony Khan if some of it's a work, or some of it's, yeah, we're going to have the chat, but not right now. Or it favours them if it's a complete shoot, and he might legitimately go to WWE in 2024, he's just going to ramp up the money he can make off it. There's not a thing about this story that I don't enjoy, and it's great for the conversation, because nobody that I've seen is going, I should have... Funny how this didn't happen with Sasha Banks, by the way. Should appreciate what he's got a bit more. Like, you just
I've seen this.
What, on MJF?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
like, people getting scared that he's going to desert them or whatever like that.
Gee, they need to have a word with themselves. Don't they? Like the deserter syndrome off the back of Cody's move. But yeah, I like it for the discourse. I like it for the storyline and the real speculation. And I like it, again, to go back to Sasha and Naomi, and I guess Kota Ibushi and Roman Reigns, whatever. There are two really, really rich wrestling companies, and the result of all these massive rights fees and all of this money and companies declaring how much money they've got in the case of WWE and how much money they expect to make in the case of AEW, those should be the signs of wrestlers to go and get as much of it as possible. The pots have probably never been bigger to get more of that cash, so like, good for them too.
since you and I'll talk a little bit more about this on a Rampage preview on Friday, especially with all the talk today about the backstage morale or whatever it may be. We'll talk more about that on the Rampage preview, though. Let's conclude, though, Sidge, by talking about Chris Jericho and William Regal face to face. Have you ever been face to face with a wizard?
Right now, mate. Right now.
Harry Potter.
I don't want to be cynical or facetious. I don't want to be cynical or facetious. Ultimately, I just have got something to finish up downstairs. So we've gone long.
Sorry. You're a wizard, Daddy. Daddy Magic.
Peace off. But ultimately, cute reference to pissing in a teacup. Smack in the face, brawl erupts. I still maintain my stance that on paper, Eddie Kingston defending professional wrestling versus Chris Jericho embodying sports entertainment with the 2.0 lads being absolutely hilarious, I still think the premise is better than the story. I don't know if the story, the beat, the premise is so great that your expectations go, oh, this is genius, actually. Still hasn't completely clicked for me. I'm hoping tonight does a little bit more. But Regal's been absolutely incredible, so this should be awesome.
Got it for you.
Oh.
Jericho and Regal doing the face-to-face thing. They've tried the mutual respect, but you can see that the walls are gradually crumbling and they're both kind of taking little shots at you. They're both digging. And then Chris Jericho says, I know what I did to your tea, but I wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire. Wizard. Fireball in Regal's face.
Oh. But we've been through this. William Regal's got too much luscious, luxurious hair.
So it could go everywhere.
It could, eh?
Yeah.
He's still on board.
I'm still on board. I just can't wait for this. I don't even want to really fantasy book it for me because it's just a mouthwatering prospect. Again, another really exciting Dynamite to look forward to. And if last week's Dynamite is anything to go by, a fantastic show too. Let us know your thoughts ahead of Dynamite tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch it. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
And if you haven't done so already, what are you playing at? Order Michael Sidgwick's brilliant book, Becoming All Elite, The Rise of AEW on Amazon right now. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. The NXT 2.0 review is available right now and our review of this show will be out tomorrow. So if you subscribe, it'll drop right into your feed. But for now, this has been the Dynamite Preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.